All right, everybody, welcome back to Jay Flemma Sports Report. You're listening to the Golf News Net on iHeartRadio. So thank you, Ryan Ballinger, for coming on. First segment of the show, we wrapped up the PGA Championship from Rochester and went over the last few weeks of the tour as well, leading up to the United States Open Championship at LA Country Club. But right now, we're going to take an interlude because there's another enormous tournament coming up this weekend. The four ball before there was the USGA four ball. Wingfoot Golf Club, celebrating its 100th anniversary this year, has held the John G. Anderson Memorial Four Ball Invitational, an international tournament for 90 long and wonderful years. So here to talk about that is Gene Westmoreland, a longtime 41-year member of Wingfoot and one of the great writers in the Met Golf Association. So Gene, thank you for coming on the show.
Jay, it's my pleasure, and an exciting year at Wingfoot for sure. The our centennial year-long celebration, certainly one of the highlights, is the Anderson Tournament, the Anderson Memorial Tournament, which again started in 1933, so 90 years.
So tell us a little bit about the format. It's two-man teams playing over a course of 4 days, four rounds, in a cutoff of a 16-team bracket for the final 2 days. Is that correct?
That is correct. You know, one of the things Wingfoot is so blessed with is having two world-class courses. So the format is today, and starting at 7 a.m. this morning, all the players are playing the East course. So we have 86 teams, which a lot of players in four ball. That's two players on a team, as you said. So they'll play the East course today. Tomorrow they play the West. And then the field gets cut down to 16 teams for match play, which will go over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and 8 teams in the senior division. There is, for the last 20 years or so, we've had a senior division, and now 8 teams advance to match play there. And they'll play 2 rounds of matches on Saturday, and then the semifinals for both events are on Sunday morning, with the finals for both Sunday afternoon.
And I'm told that this year the bracket rounds will be played on the West course.
Yeah, again, format wise and historically, we alternate years on which course will hold the match play portion. So this year it is on the West. Next year it'll be on the East, but every other year it flips. Like, the stroke play is always the same. It's Thursday East course, Wednesday, Friday West course.
So about how many countries are going to be sending teams this year?
I took a quick glance to remind myself of the international winners that we've had. And we've had teams win from Canada, from France, from Ireland, and from Lima.
Lima, Peru. I remember those strapping fellows.
Oh, they were terrific. And so I don't think the Lima team is going to be here this year. Probably France and Ireland will. The Canadians are always represented. And we always have a team or two from England. So I would say how many countries? Probably a half a dozen. And certainly, you know, many, many of our states are represented.
Sure. If I recall correctly, it's somewhere in the mid to lower 40s usually. Yeah. And perhaps even more on occasion. But there have been some terrific champions. Is Parker Smith going to be playing? He is one of the 3-time-in-a-row winners. He won back-to-back-to-back Anderson Memorials twice with Dan Crockett, if I recall. Yeah. Might we see them this year?
You will see Mr. Parker. Mr. Crockett has some physical limitations this year, so he will not be playing. Parker Smith will be playing with another part. I don't have the roster in front of me. I'm sorry. So he'll be in it, and whoever his partner is, they will be competitive. But he is playing and going for his personal 4th Anderson title, but not with Dan Crockett.
And another name to watch from the UK, always very well dressed. He and his teammates always look like Ian Poulter out on the golf course. John Kemp, who has twice been a runner up in this event. And I had the great privilege to watch Parker Smith and Dan Crockett go extra holes with he and his partner that year. I can't remember John's partner's name, but they're always a threat to go deep into the tournament. How about the two Maxes from Sleepy Hollow? The fellas that dressed in purple and white.
They were, and again, a modest correction. Actually, it was three Maxes because of all the oddities, their caddy was named Max as well. A very popular and talented caddy. So that was a unique year. And Max Buckley, I believe, he's out there. I think he may have been attempting to get his amateur status back. His partner is now working full time. You know, some of these guys, they're in their college years. We see him playing in everything, and their games are totally sharp. But the other Max is now working hard, and he's not playing this year. So the one Max that will be represented is Max the caddy. He will be there, and I'm sure he's got a strong team and taking advantage of his history and experience on the course.
Now, how about in the senior division? Who are some of the teams to watch to threaten to win the title?
You know, it's such a solid field. And I must say, Jay, that this is the Annis Memorial. It is an invitational, and invitations to this are sought, you know, by every solid player in the country, if you will. So the field is loaded, and it's hard to pick a favored team because there's so many strong ones. And the course is so tough, that both courses, and I can tell you that perfection is the only way to talk about the condition of the two courses. The greens yesterday were running at about 13, and I know you are familiar with the course and the putting greens there, which are world class in every way. So you can have a good day, bad day, but you better be putting at Wingfoot. The courses are long, challenging, et cetera. So I don't even attempt to pick out favorites in this, because just making it to match play is something of a success for any of the players in the field.
Especially with the size of the field. I'll tell you, one of the critical things at the level that we're seeing a play this year, that lag putting at Wingfoot is going to be critical. Okay, you're going to have plenty of 25 to 45 footers if you don't happen to hit the particular section of the green where the hole location is. And lag putting is one of those, you know, X factors that is the difference between a truly great player and a merely pretty good player. Same with wedge play.
You're absolutely correct. Now, the one thing that gives the players some element of comfort is that this format, four ball, which is two-man teams, it gives them a comfort when you're playing with another really solid partner. You know, they tend to be more aggressive and in every aspect of the game. So where lag putting is ultra conservative in an individual stroke play event, you know, in this event where you've got a backup kind of person who's almost always going to be there around par. Par is, you know, an objective, but birdies really are what the game is about with in a four ball event. So that partner, a skilled partner, really makes a difference, and the scores can really be reflected in that regard.
Yes, but unexploded double bogeys lurk everywhere at Wingfoot. And as sometimes happens, two guys can carry each other, or two guys can both sink to the bottom. There's that strange phenomenon of match play. There's unpredictability, and there's plenty of half par holes at Wingfoot. The par threes especially are gems. Let's talk, since people might not get a good look at the East course, why don't you tell us a little bit about your favorite holes on the East course?
Well, you know, Jay, I people ask often, and when you have guests there, they'll often ask that exact question. So my answer always is number 6 East and 15 West. They're my two favorites. but there's so many to pick from. And I often tell people, because the West course, you know, when the courses were built, they were almost exactly the same total yardage. Both par 72s, the yardage in those days, a course that was in the area of 6,700 yards in the 1920s was a monster. And both courses we're in that category. And in fact, when in 29, when the USGA, the course was only five, 6 years old, and they had the first Open there, it was something of a debate as to which course they were going to use. They ended up using the West, and it was such a success with Bobby Jones winning in the playoff that the next time the Open came around, there was no debate. They were going to do it on the West. And the West provided a little bit more room for expanded teeing areas. Sure. So it is now over 7,500. The East course taps out at just over 7,000. So they're both big courses. People ask, well, what's the difference? And I often say, well, to me, the difference is the par threes and the par threes on both courses. Boy, you'd have to flip a coin to see which are tougher. Par fives, same thing. The West course has more really big par fours than the East does, where the East has a couple of those 480 and 500 yard par fours. The West has a flurry of them. So to me, the difference is, and I honestly think in my mind, the East course, the par threes are a little bit tougher. And this is saying something for people when they play the West and they can't imagine it being par threes tougher than on the West with the third hole and the 10th hole and 13. But on the East course, so 6, 13, and 17 East are par threes that are, you talk about double bogey possibilities, and they are there on every one of those holes, especially probably the shortest of them. The 13th is, they're going to be playing it at 145 yards today. And it's a tiny green with a real severe false front, deep bunker on the right. And if you miss the green left, you are dead. And so when they go to that hole, if the first of the team misses the green,
and yeah, then you're
now the part of the real pressure goes on the other partner, because if he misses that green, and it's easy to do, you know, and now they are scrambling, and four becomes a very acceptable score, because getting an up and down on 13 is very, very challenging, especially when the greens, which are normally, you know, approaching 12 on a day-to-day basis, and are now a little bit quicker, 13. And believe me, on when the slopes there, those are challenging greens. So I my favorite holes on the East, 6 and 13 for sure. And then holes like, 7 and 8, which are back-to-back par fours, both measure in the 480 to 450, and the greens are, you know, challenging. So there's a stretch on the East, I would say, from 5 through 8 that can make or break, a tournament play.
I'm also a big fan of 17 on the East course. Absolutely gorgeous. What makes the par threes so difficult at Wingfoot not only is the sharp drop-offs around those greens or the difficult bunkers, but the deep rough as well. You know, how many inches long is the rough for the Anderson this year?
It's probably in the area of 4 inches. So which is plenty. It's very healthy. I'll throw that in there, Jay. It is, I often people look at the rough on the first tee and they say, oh, it doesn't look that bad. I said, no, it isn't.
Yeah, get out there.
it's meaningful. And a couple of shots out of the rough where, you know, you've got to, you know, only skilled players can really advance the ball with any kind of control out of the rough. So it's, it is a challenge, really. And you mentioned 17 East, which is, you know, a very memorable hole for everybody. It's the one hole on the complex out of the 36 where there is no bunker. So there's no bunker on the hole, but it's the kind of hole you wish there was a bunker if you missed the green by just a little bit, because the up and downs out of the rough, as you have implied, just are that much tougher.
Sure. The green contours alone, even if you do get a good ball strike and do play a good shot, are difficult enough to keep the ball at a place where you're going to have a reasonable one putt. Okay. But if you hit a squirter out of that rough that goes in a strange direction, you might not even be able to get the next one up and down.
For sure. For sure. So,
well, one of the most glorious places in all of golf. Okay. The Yankee Stadium of Golf but also the graveyard of champions, Wingfoot Golf Club in Mamaroneck. Gene, thank you so much for joining us on Jay Plummer Sports Report. We'll be seeing you live at Wingfoot bright and early tomorrow morning.
Terrific, Jay. Look forward to seeing you, and thank you for thinking of the Anderson. It's in the blood of every Wingfoot member and in the history of the club.
Well, I am more than grateful to be of service of the club in any way. Wingfoot has never left me from the moment I set foot on the property. But I will tell you, this is what I feel like around on the West Course is like. And I'll tell you a funny story. My friend that's a member there called me one day a couple years ago and said, come on, Jay, we're going to have ourselves a nice leisurely stroll on the East Course. Check out Gil's work, Gil Hans's. I said, gee, that sounds lovely. So I went to bed and I wake up in the morning. I get up bright and early and I drive through 4 hours to Wingfoot. He goes, yeah, let's hit a couple of balls. Okay, fantastic. All right, see you over on the first tee of the East Course. Well, when I get over there, it looks like a kid's baseball game. And my buddy walks over to me. He goes, Jay, I screwed up. I forgot. Today on the East Course, it's the father's son. And I also forgot, I've got a match for the club championship on the West Course. You're my marker. And so I had to go out and play the West with no warning set up for the club championship. Mm-hmm. And so I said, from the thing about around at Wingfoot is it's absolutely the most wonderful walk in history until you get on the first tee. And then you better be grinding. And it's 18 holes of fright and hauntedness and what could go wrong next. Okay, waiting for the next shot to put you in purgatory until you putt out an 18 and you can breathe easy again. That West Course is so much fun, but wow, I see why they have US Opens on it.
It is the ultimate challenge because everything is right in front of you. And you tell people, well, no, I mean, if you're having a good day with the driver and you can put it in the, keep it out of the rough, keep it in the fairway, it leaves you a very fair shot to the green. Of course, it's probably going to be a little longer than you have at most courses, but you have an appropriate shot. And that means if you got your tee shot on the right side of the fairway, the correct side, I should say, because you want the right angle coming in all the time on the greens. And I mentioned before the false fronts, and you've mentioned the undulation on the green and the deep bunkers and the fall offs to the side. So your second shot has got to be well controlled going in, because if you're not, you know, your putt is going to be, or your recovery shot is going to be one that is going to be the ultimate challenge. That is where Tillinghast put all his effort. He used to say that, you know, from the teeing ground to the green, most courses are rather similar, but the putting greens, that is where, that's like the face of a human being. That's where all the personality, that's where all the uniqueness is. And he made them unique, and every one is a challenge.
Yep. The other thing about Wingfoot also is, especially on the West Course, the undulations in the fairway and the elevation changes. Okay, it may not be as dramatic or drastic as Augusta Nationals, but they're there. Okay, the uphill shot on 10, the rolling fairway on 11 and 12. Okay, the chasms you have to carry over on the two par threes so that you don't end up in the gun. For a bogey golfer, by the way, any shot you put in the rough, you're hitting at best a 6-iron out, bumping it up the fairway. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. These are the very best players in the world, teaming up from all across the globe. It's just a majestic golf course, and it is a wondrous golf tournament. John G. Anderson Memorial from Wingfoot. Gene, thank you for joining us.
Always my pleasure. Thank you, Jay.
All right, everybody, we will see you from Mamaroneck in just a few days. So stay tuned for more Jay Plummer Sports Report on iHeartRadio and more Golf News Net.